Good morning, guys. How y'all doing? Good. Well, y'all, I love that song that we just sang. I love what it tells us. I love that we get to enter into this place in a spirit of worshiping the Lord and of thanking Him for the transformative work of His love. I love that that song teaches us just through those simple words what a transformational love is found in Christ and in His sacrifice. And what's so cool is that that is exactly what chapter 3 of Colossians has been teaching us over and over and over again. It is teaching us of the transformation that comes through the love of Christ. So if you guys think back to 3 weeks ago, Caleb was talking and Paul, in chapter 3 of Colossians, he's answering these kind of big questions. So the setup is that we know our lives are supposed to be changed, right? We know that our lives are supposed to be looking different to the world. We know that much. But the first question that Paul really answers in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, is who? Who changes our life? And what's that answer? Jesus, yes. So if you look at verses 1 through 4, it's all about what Jesus has done and that He is the one who transforms our lives. And then we jump ahead to Hunter's talk 2 weeks ago and Caleb's talk last week. And the question that is being asked is, okay, if Christ is coming and He's the one who changes us, well, what is supposed to change, right? So Hunter's talk 2 weeks ago was all about putting to death our sinful nature. It was all about putting to death our greed and our lust and our self-glorification and our spirit of self-centeredness. It was all about putting that to death. And then Caleb's talk last week is if we are putting those things to death, they have to be replaced. They have to be replaced with something else. And so that we are to clothe ourselves in kindness, in patience, in love, in forgiveness, that we are called to clothe ourselves in the very character of Christ. So first Paul answers the who, then he answers the what. Today, we're going to be in Colossians 3, 15 through 17, and Paul is going to be answering the question of how. We have who, we know what needs to change, so how do we do this? How does this change get implemented in our lives? So if you have your Bible, open up to Colossians 3, 15 through 17. If you don't have it, you can just follow along up here. So it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So Paul, he's laying out a lot for us in these three verses, but first, in addressing the how, we're just going to highlight two areas right now, and that is that we are called to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, and we are called to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, okay? So rule in your hearts, dwell in you richly. Just remember those two things. Who can tell me who lives in this house? SpongeBob. Do we have any SpongeBob fans? Raise them high. Be proud. Be proud of your fandom. Y'all, I was a SpongeBob super fan growing up, okay? I had SpongeBob pajamas, both for summer and winter. I had SpongeBob t-shirts, which embarrassingly, I wore a SpongeBob t-shirt to Disney World, which seems like a huge conflict of interest. And I had a SpongeBob alarm clock, so every day in the sixth grade, I woke up to the sweet sounds of the fun song from SpongeBob SquarePants. Okay, so if you love SpongeBob, don't worry. But yes, we know this pineapple under the sea because it is where SpongeBob lives. Who lives here? Bilbo, Frodo, that's right. They live... I don't actually have confirmation that this is the real house, so super fans, don't get mad at me. I just Google searched Frodo's house, and this was the first image. And then who lives here? Patrick Starr. No, the president. Yes. Yes, Donald Trump currently lives there. But the point is, y'all, that we know these houses, we recognize these houses, not because the house itself, we recognize the house because of who lives in it, right? So you're driving down the street, you're passing neighborhoods all the time. You don't think a thing about those houses until you know that your best friend lives there or until you know that the kids that you babysit live there. It transforms the house when you know who is dwelling inside. A house is not a house until someone dwells in it. And guys, we are the same way, that we were created to be dwelled in us. We have a spirit within us that is at all times dwelling in us. Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what this is saying, how this connects, is that whatever spirit is living within us, that is the spirit that we are going to live out of. We're going to act out of whatever spirit is living in us. So really, we have two options, right? You either are being dwelled in by the spirit of your sinful nature, the spirit that all of us were born with, the spirit of self-centeredness, of self-glorification, of pride, of envy, of greed, of lust. Either that spirit is living in you, or we're being dwelled in by the Holy Spirit. Those are really our only two options here, that we are either filled with a spirit of sin, or we are being transformed by the Spirit of Christ. So my question for you guys is, what is dwelling in you? What spirit is living in you? And be honest, because I know a lot of times the answer is, well, on a good day, I think it's the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in me, but on a bad day, when I wake up late and I'm running late and I have three tests and I didn't study for two of them, I think my sinful nature is dwelling in me because I'm mad and I'm lashing out at people and I'm impatient and I'm speeding and I'm yelling at the guy in front of me who won't turn on his blinker. Like, We go back and forth, but guys, today, what is dwelling in you? And the point is that the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. So if we are choosing to be dwelt in by the Holy Spirit, if we are letting him in to dwell in us, if we're listening to Paul and we're being ruled by his peace and dwelled in by his word, then it is going to transform us. It's going to do all of the work of those other verses that we've studied the last 3 weeks. All of the work of what Caleb has talked about and what Hunter has talked about is going to be done through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So Paul tells us, like, yes, this is the first part of the how, that he is to dwell in you. But there's another layer to that, right? So the first how can feel really abstract. Can feel like, yes, I understand he's supposed to dwell in me, but what does that do? So Paul goes deeper and gives us these markers of what our hearts inwardly should be transformed by when he is dwelling in us. And so those things are peace, that we should be marked by the peace of God, that we should be of one body, we should have unity. And right now, inwardly, I'm talking about unity with God. We should be one with him, one with his plan, one with his will. And then we should be marked by a thankful heart. It is just like that song we were just singing was saying, thank you, Jesus, because you set me free. You rescued me. You saved me. You set me apart for yourself. Whenever the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, I don't really think that we can have anything but a thankful heart, because we are understanding and we are living from the sacrifice that Christ made for us. I think that we forget that a lot, and we hear it so often. We hear the gospel so often that we forget the absolute power that comes from the sacrifice he made, and that whenever I'm aware of his sacrifice, like, I want to tell everybody, and I want to share, and I want to praise him. I want to worship him because I see that he is changing my life when he didn't have to, when I didn't deserve it, when I did nothing for it. So guys, this is how inwardly we are to change. We should have peace. We should be ruled by the peace of his salvation, by knowing that we are saved, by knowing that we are his and we are loved, because it is true. You are saved and known and loved. We should be marked by thankfulness, thankfulness for his forgiveness, for his sacrifice, for his love. And then we should have unity with God. We should be able to look at the circumstances in our life and say, God, you chose this. This is what you have given me. This is the path that you have drawn out for my life. And so I praise you, and I will walk in that path because I know you are a good father and that you have good plans for me and that you love me. So inwardly, guys, these are the things, these are the markers of our lives that we should see. But I think sometimes what we do is we turn this around on itself, right? So I think that something that we do is, instead of focusing on how we should be changed inwardly, we choose to only look at the outside, and we become kind of like this guy, okay? So over here on your left, we're gonna call him Kevin. I don't really know his name, but Kevin looked in the mirror one day and he thought, I would really like to look like Justin Bieber, who, as you know, is on your right. So Kevin decides, I want more than anything to look like the Biebs, because ladies love Bieber. If I look like him, ladies will love me. Ignoring the fact that, like, Bieber is extremely talented and a pop star and woos the ladies with more than his face, right? So Kevin goes to a plastic surgeon and says, I will pay you $160,000 to make me look like Bieber. And that happened. Okay? That happened. And I would argue that he looks less like Bieber after his plastic surgery than he did before. Because really, I can see a couple similarities. They have similar eyebrows. But afterwards, he doesn't look anything like him. He wanted an outward transformation to look like someone who he was never designed to look like, right? And he just focused on, if I have the face, I will be Bieber. Well, he didn't get either, okay? Then you've got these two who collectively spent $400,000 to look like plastic children's toys. And honestly, I kind of feel like they succeeded and that their eyelids do not look like they can physically close. Like, they look plastic, they got that much, but they don't look like Ken and Barbie at all, right? And I'm going to go back to Bieber because they are too scary for me to look at for a long period of time. But what I'm getting at, guys, is that we so focus on the outside, and I am standing before you as the most guilty of focusing on the outward appearance, of focusing on an outward transformation instead of the power that comes through the Holy Spirit changing our lives. I lived most of my walk with the Lord, most of my Christian life, just trying to be good enough, just trying to prove to people, like, yes, I can be kind, I can be patient, I can be loving, I can be forgiving, and investing my time, investing my life, investing my energy, investing my heart, and into being fake, into trying to show people, like, oh, I'm a good Christian, when really there was nothing inside. There was no transformation. I was still living from that spirit of sin. I was trying to glorify myself to look like Christ instead of glorifying him and thereby naturally looking like Christ. It's completely different. And guys, we do it every day. We do it all the time, and we ignore that the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. We don't transform ourselves to look like the Spirit from the outside in. It is only by his indwelling and only by his work that we can look anything like him, and that has to start on the inside. So Paul has given us the inward change, the things that should be reflected in our hearts. Then he moves on to give us what other people should see, how we should relate to one another once we've been changed. And those are, we should have peace, peace with each other. We should be one body, so unity, and this time as the church, as a body of Christ. We should teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and we should sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So guys, we are called to have peace with one another. When the Spirit has changed us, we will naturally have peace with one another. We won't be quarreling and fighting and getting up in arms against each other over the smallest things. We won't be going behind each other's backs and gossiping about differences that are in this room, because honestly, they don't matter. What matters is that we are chasing after the same goal. We are following the same God, and we are working towards the same goal, which is people knowing his name and him being made great. We'll have unity with each other. We'll want to work together. We'll want to do this together. You won't see division between cell groups or between cities or schools or churches, but that the point is that we are one body of Christ, and as such, we are unified. We'll teach and correct each other. When we have the word of Christ dwelling in us, we'll be teaching each other from that. And teaching each other the word is what exposes what needs to be changed in our own lives. So those things naturally happen when we're studying together, we're teaching one another. And then we'll worship together, which is what you guys are doing here today, right? We are coming together saying, thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. And that is the transformation that comes whenever the Spirit is dwelling in us. So you guys might be thinking like, okay, this is great. This is really good. All of this, that's awesome. But how do we achieve it? Again, how? And that question is still answered. How do we dwell? So guys, personally, that inward dwelling, here are some things that you can do to be opening the doors for the word of God and his peace to dwell in you. Study your Bible. You're not going to become a believer and then like magically know the whole Bible cover to cover. It just doesn't happen. You guys know that. If you want his word to dwell in you, you have to read it. It's plain and simple. You have to read it. And memorize scripture. If you don't know scripture to memorize, talk to your cell group leader or talk to somebody on staff. We will get you scripture to memorize. But guys, if you want it to dwell in you, you have to take the first step of taking it into yourself. Listen to worship music in the morning. I'm sure that we can all vouch for the change that it makes in our day if whenever you're getting ready, instead of turning on a show on Netflix or listening to whatever pop music or whatever y'all listen to, if you just turn on worship music, like your entire day is transformed by that, simply because you are starting your day with truth. You're starting your day with encouragement, with the word of God. And I can promise you that it has an effect. I have never seen it not have an effect on my life when I have started my day intentionally choosing to hear truth. Spend time in prayer. If you want the peace of God to dwell in you, you need to talk to him. You need to know the God that you say you're trusting. You need to be able to share your life with him and hear his voice. And through that, he dwells in you. We have to know our God. Because how can we expect to be changed if we don't even know him? If we just say his name on a Sunday and leave it at that. And then be in a discipleship relationship. Find someone a step ahead of you who can lead you, who can teach and admonish you, who can help you see the things in your life that need to be corrected, who can push you towards scripture, push you towards memory. Like, find someone who can walk with you. And that one, discipleship, that bleeds over into our corporate response. It bleeds over into our relationships, how we do this together, how we're transformed together. Because whenever you're in a discipleship relationship, how many of y'all are being discipled right now? Raise your hand. Okay, so I'm sure you guys all know this, that when someone is discipling you, it's not just a one-way street, right? Because the person who's discipling you is also hearing truth. They're also learning. They're also growing. And they are being transformed. So be in discipleship. Have accountability. Find a friend who is on the same path, who is going towards the same goal as you, and keep each other accountable. Ask each other, what did you read in the Bible today? What have you been learning? Have you memorized any scripture? Let's recite it for each other. Have you been spending time in prayer? Like, find someone who is willing to ask you those questions and isn't going to shy away when you say, no, I haven't, and I really need help, right? You need to find someone in your life who you can do this with. And then go to cell group, y'all. That is built in for you. It is built in for you to grow, to be unified as a body, to have peace together, to praise with one another, to learn with one another. And then church, like I said earlier, y'all are doing it right now. We're hearing scripture that is teaching and correcting us. It's showing us the errors in our life and telling us how we need to change. So guys, do these things, right? And if you feel lost, if you feel stuck, talk to somebody about it. If you're still hearing this and thinking like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know how to start. Talk to a cell group leader. Talk to one of us on staff, because we've all been there. Everybody has to start somewhere. And we have all been in the position of saying, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to start. And guys, the cool thing is that Paul gives us all of this, right? So this is verse 15 and 16, and he's laid all of this out for us, but that's not it. That's not everything, because it's so easy for us to look at all of this and to think like, okay, yes, in this church realm, I can do these things. In my church life, in my discipleship relationship, in my cell group, I can do these things. I can dwell. But then we start looking for our loopholes, right? We start looking for those other areas of our lives where we think, ooh, but I can be less faithful here. I'm going to control my life when I'm at school. I'm going to control my life when I'm playing sports. And Paul does not let us sit in that. In verse 17, he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, everything. Guys, when he says that, he means everything. If you look at his life, you see this reflected everywhere, that it's everything. It's going to school. It is playing your sports. It's being on dance or cheer or band or being in choir. Guys, it is the shows that we choose to watch on Netflix in our free time. And it is going to Andy's in Rogers because it's finally open, okay? Y'all, it is everything we do, right? And I know that we hear that over and over and over and over again, and we think like, well, he can't really mean everything. How is God supposed to be transforming my life while I'm standing in line at Andy's? But guys, he means it. Y'all, whenever the Holy Spirit is transforming us, he is not choosing to transform you at church and cell group. He is an all or nothing God. He is a God who says, we are transforming the whole, and that is the goal. The goal is for our lives on every level, in every menial day-to-day task, to reflect the glory and the love of Christ. And I promise you, if you are letting him dwell in you, you will see a change in the way that you treat your teachers at school, in the ways that you talk to your friends, that you do your homework even. And you'll see a difference in the way that you respect your coach at football practice, or the way that you respect and love the other girls on your dance team. You will see a difference in the shows that you choose to watch on Netflix. You'll see a difference in the music that you choose to listen to. And guys, you will see a difference in the way that you love people that you don't know, that you love people that you will never see again. You will be transformed by his Holy Spirit. And guys, it's like I said earlier, there is always something dwelling in us, right? But we have the choice. We have the choice to say, no, instead of being that decaying pineapple in the ocean that has no life, that has nothing, because that's what we were. That's what we are in our sin. Instead of being decaying and rotting and falling apart, I'm going to choose to do the hard work of letting the Spirit dwell in me. And I know that that is a hard choice to make, guys. I get it and I feel it. And I know that some days you wake up and you feel on it and you feel great and you want to let Christ dwell in you. And other days you wake up and you're mad at God for the circumstances in your life, and you're mad at the things that are going on around you, and you're mad that your friends are being rude and aren't hanging out with you. And I understand. I really do. It's a choice that all of us have to make every day. But guys, it is the worthy, the best choice. It is the choice that turns us from decaying to living, that turns us from falling apart and no future and no hope and recognized only by our sin to beautiful and reflective of Him and His life. The Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. So guys, this week, even if it's, I'm just going to read my Bible one day, make the choice to let Him dwell. And I promise you that the more you chase Him, the more that you open up your heart to let Him dwell inside, He will not fail you. I can promise you that, because He is a God who keeps His promises, and He promises that He transforms us. Let me pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your word that does not go out void. God, I thank You that You promise that we are changed by You. I thank You for Your love, for Your sacrifice that made it even possible for us to be anything other than dead. Lord, I thank You for that. And Father, I pray that as we go out in our weeks, Father, that we would be motivated by that love, that we would have hearts of thankfulness that desire to choose You and desire to be changed, even if it's hard, God, because You gave it all. You sacrificed for us and You love us. So Father, I pray that our lives would be reflective of the thankfulness that we have for Your sacrifice. It's in Your name I pray.